Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Michelle Baltazar, Editor-in-Chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. Today's episode is part of our three-part series on how to get your life admin sorted in the new year. So we thought we should start thinking about this while things are winding down at work, and maybe you've got a couple of weeks downtime during the holidays to really think about what you want to do in the new year, and also to reflect on all the good things you've done this year, and you just want to continue the momentum in the new year. And to help us on this is our guest who is returning. This is her second time with us here at Friends with Money, Mia Northrop, co-author of Life Admin Hacks. Welcome to Friends with Money, Mia.
Great to be here, Michelle.
Yes, good to have you back. Once again, I just enjoyed reading your book. It's clear. It's got everything detailed, but also very simple. So it's not intimidating for me to think, yes, I can do this. It's all step by step. It's there.
Thank you so much. And that was a major aim of making sure the book didn't feel overwhelming, because life admin is overwhelming and stressful for so many. So we wanted to have a very methodical approach, very simple structure, a lot of repetition, so it could really get a rhythm and get some habits established. So I'm glad that you found it useful.
Absolutely. Well, I thought before we get to the steps or the life admin hack, shall we say, is that we need to lay the foundations on why we need to do this. And I know that you have benefited from just the kind of liberation from all the stress and the feeling of overwhelm. So how do you define life admin, and why is it important to have boundaries when we talk about life admin?
Yeah, great question. For a lot of us, life admin is sort of this amorphous blob of things we know we should do. We've got these thought bubbles in our heads about the forms we need to fill out, the accounts we need to check up on, the logistics we need to arrange for kids or Christmas or holidays or whatever. And we don't really know what counts as life admin. So we define life admin as personal and household administrative tasks and chores. Think of paperwork. It's different from housework, which is traditionally cooking, cleaning, and laundry. It's obviously different from parenting, which is all about child rearing. Life admin is this third piece of the domestic labor puzzle, and it includes paying bills. It's the banking. It's setting up contents insurance. It's making medical appointments, managing your social life, all those kinds of things. And it's important to define it, because if you kind of lump it in with the housework, then it's actually harder to take a methodical approach to it. It's harder to think about how best to share it in your household, if you're partnered, if you're living with other people. And you really need to recognize that it has its own areas of responsibilities. So we try not to conflate it with other things like housework, because it hides it. It hides the burden, and it hides the fact that life admin actually generates a significant portion of the mental load.
Absolutely. It's the mental load, yes.
Yeah. It's this time of year when we're getting into the silly season, and if you have kids and the school things are wrapping up, you might try to wrap up things from work. You plan if you're celebrating Christmas, you've got those plans, and you start to, it can get stressful. So we really wanted to find a way for people to have a structured approach to life admin so that they can approach it, on a daily, weekly, monthly cycle, and have certain tasks and activities that have it hum along so that doesn't get to those panic station moments. So we think about the boundaries, we think about a definition of the different types of life admin, and we can dive into sort of some of the categories as well today so people can get their head around what it is. And we also found that when you start solving life admin, you will save money. You will have better peace of mind, because some of those things in that to-do list that wake you up at 3 a.m., they're going to be taken care of. You will promote household harmony, because it can actually also cause a lot of friction in households about who's doing what or who's not doing what. And it can also save you a heap of time. So we found that a lot of people don't structure, they don't have a dedicated time in their calendar for attempting life admin. They kind of think, oh, I'll do it whenever, I'll do it when I'm in the mood. people are very rarely in the mood to do this kind of thing. So if you take a methodical approach, you can also save time in how much time you spend on life admin and how much time you spend thinking about it.
I like that. I definitely am part of that cohort of people who think I will do it when I have some time, and and lumping it together with, you know, doing the dishes, doing the laundry, and yes, maybe I'll squeeze in half an hour to do the bills. And it's kind of unpredictable. So I can totally get what you say about if you have some structure, even for the family, they know that if it's Saturday afternoon, Mom is doing the bills, and you just have that clear run to do it. Now, you talked about categories as well, but how can organizing your approach to live admin save you money? You mentioned time, but just very quickly on that, can you just give like a dollar figure just for you personally, just to really encourage our listeners out there to say, yes, you will get this benefit if you do your live admin?
Well, you know, the life admin, the money saving comes from a range of different levels. I would have saved thousands and thousands of dollars from getting my life admin sorted. So one aspect of life admin is budgeting and having some kind of money monitoring, money tracking app or system.
Love it.
We've used, you know, Money Brilliant and Pocketbook in the past. They're both going by the wayside. We've played with Frollo. We've played with WeMoney and YNAB. You need a budget. So actually monitoring your money and understanding where it's going. I know you've got lots of episodes about that and people can dive deep into the world of budgeting. There's also, you know, a methodical approach to your tax and your super, even the way you approach your health appointments and records. There are ways you can save money there as well. And one whole part of our book is dedicated to comparison shopping your major household expenses. So this covers your home loans, your house and contents insurance, health insurance, energy, you know, your mobile phone bill. So when you start looking around for good deals on all of those major expenses, you have potentially thousands of dollars you can save. And in the book, we actually, for each chapter, we actually show you, you know, what is the bang for buck here? Can you save in the tens, in the hundreds, in the thousands? And, you know, how much time is it going to save you? How much household harmony or peace of mind might, you know, optimizing this area actually give you?
I do love seeing the dollar signs myself going, ooh, I'm going to save this much around here. Now, what are the tools and processes that make the biggest impact on reducing the life admin headaches and also making all the other life admin tasks easier? You did talk about the apps, but just tell us a little bit more about that.
So when my co-author Dinah and I were delving into this area and researching life admin, we wondered if there was going to be a range of, you know, things we could set up that were just going to streamline the whole process, just make everything else easier. And it came down to five different tools. The first was having a digital schedule with a shared digital calendar across our household. So we both shifted from paper wall calendars where we were trying to map our commitments, the kids' commitments, things in the social life, you know, appointments, events, where there was sort of not really a single point of truth because you might have things in your phone, you might have things on your computer calendar, your work calendar, your partner's online calendar. It was everywhere. So having a shared digital calendar was a bit of a game changer. So something like Google Calendar or Outlook Calendar, which are free, which can be shared for people to use across their devices, gets a single source of truth of what's happening. The second foundational tool was a password manager. And this kind of surprised us. We didn't really appreciate how much time it would save by having a little device on our phones and our iPads, our computers, that was just going to log us in across the internet everywhere we needed to go. And also be a vault for documents. So password managers obviously create strong passwords for you. They keep all your passwords and they also allow you to upload documents and credit card details so they can fill in forms very quickly when you're going across the internet and also access, you know, 100 points of ID as you're doing various life admin tasks on the go. So this was something that, you know, we'd relied on our browsers to just log us in, but an actual password manager that you pay for is a game changer. The third tool is cloud storage. So think Google Drive, think OneDrive, somewhere where you can upload documents again that you can access from anywhere and that you can share with people in your family. Or, for example, if you have a tax folder in your cloud storage, you can share it with your tax agent or your accountant so they can access documents effectively and efficiently. And along with this is a dedicated Life Admin email address. So another kind of surprising benefit here where we experimented with having a separate email address to our personal email address. And this is where all the correspondence, all that boring paperwork gets sent to a dedicated email address. And you can use an hour of power where you've got your scheduled Life Admin time to just go in there, deal with the paperwork, and then get out. The final two things, well, we mentioned budgeting. And then the other was really having a good system of to-do lists. So using either the Reminders app on your phone or getting dedicated to-do list apps and separating them out from checklists and reference lists so that you have a clear idea of what is actually on your plate. Reference lists are things like lists of podcasts you might like to listen to or books you want to read or things that are on the gift wish list for the kids for Christmas. We found that most people don't have personal to-do lists. They might have them for work, but they kind of get a bit laissez-faire in their personal life. It's great to get that stuff out of your head. You get incredible peace of mind when you can actually write it down somewhere and stop thinking about it. And we encourage people to have two types of to-do lists. One we call the Hour of Power to-do list, which is your major life admin tasks like shopping around for new contents insurance or comparing
superannuation funds, for example.
Yes.
Like, this is a big thing to be comparing super funds, but we're big proponents of our readers looking at what are the fees that super funds charge. And you know what? In all seriousness, you do need to at least spend an hour. But it's funny how flicking through your IG feed, you can be there for 45 minutes and it just feels like it's not a chore, right? But even thinking about 30 minutes looking at super is like, really, Michelle, this is how you want me to spend my weekend? But I really like those five recommendations that you've given there. And I must say, I don't have a personal admin email. So maybe that could be something that I would try. But Mia, can you make us feel better and tell us that this is just not something you can do overnight? There is that mental resistance to change. And even there's even comfort in the chaos that it's everything's all over the place. So any kind of stories you can share with us on just the transition from being kind of disorganized with your life admin to where you are today?
Yeah, this is definitely a process and a journey. Like Dinah and I, when we set out on this, we started a podcast to map our journey. And it took us a year to work through all of these topics and optimize all these areas. So very much set that mindset that it's going to be little steps of progress along the way and it'll build momentum. You cannot do this all at once. It's too exhausting and kind of too tedious. But just, you know, each month tackle a different area. So we would suggest that people start with these foundational tools, start with setting up your environment, and then you'll actually find that things like doing your tax, reviewing your super, comparing mobile phone plans, or thinking about even things like meal planning, grocery shopping, all of those things become easier when you've got these foundational tools set up.
Fantastic. Well, can I just say that I guess with the news about the Optus hack and the Medibank hack, I think it's worthwhile really thinking about the password manager as well, just to really kind of stay on top of that. Now, I know that this is just kind of a teaser into what we're going to delve into. Again, like I said earlier, this is a three-part series. And I hope that our listeners can kind of start thinking about this, this side of 2023. And then next year, we have two more episodes. The next episode with you will be on how to streamline your household to save. And then the third and last episode would be the adulting part, or getting your affairs in order, where we handle the big T, taxes, right? So thank you once again for your time, Mia, and look forward to chatting with you in our episode 2.
Can't wait.
Now, before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments for me or for Mia to our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all the latest financial news and stories from us. So that's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.